Hello out there. Welcome to Your Next Mission video podcast. Plenty of active duty military, veterans and their families love the outdoors. If you're one of them, you probably heard of the Sierra Club, the conservation group that's been around for 134 years. But did you know the Sierra Club has a military outdoors program? Today, we're going to talk with the deputy campaign director of that program to find out what they're all about and how exploring the outdoors just might help you. We'll be right back.
Welcome to Your Next Mission video podcast, where we tell the stories of those who have served in the past and those who are serving today. From transition to financial wellness, VA benefits to mental health, we cover issues facing veterans, active military, and their families. Now here's your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army and co-founder of the American Freedom Foundation, Jack L. Tilley.
Thanks for joining us, and thanks to all of our veterans, service members, and families for your service to our great country. Now, before we get started, I personally want to thank our presenting sponsors, Navy Federal Credit Union, whose members are the mission, and Purdue Global, where you could start your comeback, and USAA, whose mission is taking care of the military community and their families always. With additional sponsorship from Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Dental and Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Vision, together, they make your next mission happen. They love our veterans and families. I say it every week, we love them too. Today we're gonna talk about the great outdoors and Sierra Club Military Outdoors Program. And I'm happy to welcome the deputy campaign director of the program and a veteran himself, Sherman Neal II. Welcome to the show.
Appreciate it, Sergeant Major. Thanks for having me here.
Well, thanks for coming on the show. Hey, we got a lot to talk about before we do anything. Would you tell the audience, you know, just a little bit about yourself?
Sure. So as Sergeant Major said, my name's Sherman Neal. I'm the Deputy Campaign Director here for the Sierra Club Military Outdoors. I've been in this position a little bit over a year and 4 months. Prior to coming here, I spent time as an attorney, largely looking at sports and entertainment law. Prior to that, in service, I was a Marine Corps officer, left the Marines in 2019. I actually served for a small bit of time as a staff judge advocate. And then the majority of time spent as a logistics officer. I was 7th Marines in the desert. So that's really what shaped me in terms of experiences prior to professionally. But generally with the outdoors, you know, I'm an Eagle Scout. I found out, you know, everything I know from running around in the forest, you know, in ways that I hope everybody gets to do nowadays, which is why we're here.
Well, it sounds like you have a pretty rounded career so far. It sounds like you've did a lot of exciting things. I think most people in the country have at least heard of the Sierra Club, but they might not know much about it. Could you give us, you know, a real quick rundown on the history and the mission of the Sierra Club?
Sure, appreciate it. So the Sierra Club is actually the oldest grassroots conservation organization, founded in 1892. And the roots of the Sierra Club are in protecting the outdoors. At the time, that was Yosemite and trying to reduce some of the boundaries of that. Over time, that mission has expanded to talk about energy policy. We're still talking about parks and public land. And now my focus is in outdoors for all and making sure that all people, to include veterans and veterans and the entire military community, have access to the outdoors, which is where we're at today.
Yeah. How long has the Sierra Club been making a concerted effort to involve, you know, veterans and, you know, really the entire military community?
Yeah. So this particular program, the Military Outdoors Program, got started in 2006. And at that time, it was actually the Military Families Outdoors Initiative, because we take ourselves back to 2006. We're talking kinetic times with OIF, OEF in full swing. And a real need to ground families overall, but especially like those Gold Star families, you know, we had much more kinetic environment. And so over time, that's evolved now to where, you know, we are one of the premier, if not the premier entity that's advocating for veterans, Gold Star families, military families, and in the, at the precipice of conservation, the outdoors and creating access. And I also like Selfie, but I said 2006, but really, if we go back to 1933, we had a member named David Brower, who would go on to become the Sierra Club's first executive director in 1952. David Brower is an Army veteran. He left as a major. He actually took some of the skills that he had gained through the Sierra Club in the 1930s, headed into World War II, and instituted some of those in his training with the 10th Mountain Division. So some of that training regimen has direct roots in David Brower, who's the first executive director of the Sierra Club. And so that's pretty awesome. That wasn't known to me, and it's cool to see some of the intersections there as well over time in involvement.
Did I heard that was an Army guy involved in that process?
That was an Army guy, 10th Mountain, Bronze Star recipient in the Italian Peninsula. So yeah, some heavy roots there for 10th Mountain overall in the Army and the Sierra Club.
No question about that. Hey, what is the goal of the Sierra Club Military Outdoors Program? What is the goal?
Yeah, so the goal for us is to ensure that active duty service members, veterans, military families, Gold Star family members, one, get to enjoy the beauty of nature, period, to get outside. And then two, to remove the barriers to accessing the outdoors for those families. In order to create champions for conservation and the environment. And so we'll probably get to it, but we know that, you know, everything is more difficult as a service member, a veteran, and or a military family member. And so there's some specified needs that exist, and there's some real opportunities given the leadership skills that we have. Like I just mentioned, the executive director, there's a lot of skills that veterans bring to bear for land management agencies, as we see, you know, high rates of employment there, or just, you know, advocating and being leaders in their local communities overall. And conservation is the way that we try to help channel some of that while making sure that people have a good time outside.
Yeah, I think the other thing, too, is when you get all those veterans together, that's probably therapy for them. You know, just to struggle a little bit, and the families get involved, and it's a good time just to sort of talk to each other.
Yeah, exactly. I think for a lot of veterans, we get to them when they're downstream and they're, you know, acutely suffering from some issues. And for me, like, how do we go upstream? And not just that, but if we're taking a paddle metaphor, like, how do we, you know, assist veterans on that journey together to go upstream and figure out, hey, what are some of the root causes of why I feel this way? Why I've lost the community, what assets, you know, voices do I need to help me get to a better or the position I need to be into in life? Yeah. And we know that, you know, oftentimes it's a river, it's a picnic bench, it's a mountain, a trail are the best places to do that, especially if we can get veterans together and not do that alone. And we'd like to say, because it's true, we're not service providers. We are conveners in the environment, and we like to bring those folks together in a place that we know scientifically, et cetera, results in healing in a healthy way.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, you got a great video on your website about removing barriers between veterans and the outdoors. Why is that so important, and what can the veterans get out of it?
Yes, so a lot of the studies that we see on access to the outdoors overall are good, and they're addressed towards the general population of people. But we know that, again, going back to veterans have, you know, some specified needs. We know that, you know, if, let's say, roughly if 44%, I think, of all veterans receive care at the VA, that means that 44% of people who are at least checking in have some type of service-related disability that needs special consideration for access. And we also know the other 60% have some of the, you know, the hidden wounds that come with, whether it's the PCSing as a family and the stress that comes with that and needing some additional information, or, you know, actual combat-related stressors that haven't been fully parsed out. And so for us, when we're talking about access, we're talking about, hey, you know, ADA compliance impacts all of us. There are some specific places, areas, high concentrations of veterans where that matters a lot more. Where, like in Atlanta, where I'm at, we know that 44% of all veterans don't live within 10 minutes of a green space or walking distance to a green space.
Yeah.
We also know that of that population, you know, that's based on the regular civilian population. We know that that population probably has more physical disabilities or mental related issues that come with service. That means there's an even higher need to create access for the veteran community.
Yeah. You know, when I was a kid, I used to go out in the woods all the time and do stuff with my father, go hunting and fishing and stuff like that. But I think it was really important for me just to get out with my dad at a particular time just so we could talk and so I could sort of follow him around, see what he was doing and shoot the gun and do stuff like that. Hey, I'd like to show our audience a short clip from that video, which includes, you know, comments from veterans who went to on a Sierra Club military outdoors rafting trip.
You put yourself on rivers, you put yourself in the mountains, and it forces you to have to step back and say, all right, I'm not the one in control.
These beautiful places, this is the physical representation of what you fought for, right? This is your democracy, this is your ideals, and that value of awe. But awe coupled with community, it's priceless.
Going outdoors, using the outdoors, has been a key to the veterans that I've seen doing the best that have not been in the best places necessarily.
Sherman, what's your reaction to those kind of comments?
My reaction is joy, not just for the veterans that got to experience that, but because that's what's invoked in me from watching, because that was my experience. Part of my journey here came from going on a river paddling trip with a veteran service organization called Team River Runner, where we went 50 miles downstream, which is upstream on the Salmon River in Idaho, and with a group of people that I never met and came together and weren't pressed into discovering anything, finding out anything about ourselves, but just brought together and a cool experience on the river, and it happened naturally. And this was before I assumed this position here. And so when I hear about those positions, I know that I arrived there in a darker place than I left with. Doesn't mean I was fixed or I was solved, but I was equipped with a community. Some extra skills. I had never been whitewater rafting before that. So
yeah.
First time you get tossed out the kayak on a class, find out things real quick about yourself, and it builds confidence, builds experience, like you talked about walking around in the woods with your dad.
Yeah.
That's just another level of doing that with a different community. And so, you know, seeing that is what we're all about here, and cultivating those experiences and making sure that more veterans get to access those sooner. I shouldn't have had to. I wish I had been exposed almost immediately upon service, but even during service, to equip my Marines with those opportunities, let alone equip myself with everything that comes post-transition. So yeah. That's what we're all about here.
You know, no, I've been rafting before, but it was just in an inner tube where I got in and floated down with some little rafts, never in a boat or anything like that. But I think I'd imagine it really pulls you together and become closer. And when you do take a break, you talk about a lot of things that, you know, maybe in some cases, maybe some of them bothers you, or maybe something doesn't drive. But again, it's a lot of therapy and a good friendship and a lot of fun. Though, hey, this has been really an interesting discussion. We got a lot more to talk about. But first, like there's a first in everything, we need to take a quick break. So don't go anywhere, Sherman. We'll be right back. This is Your Next Mission Video Podcast with me, your host, Jack L. Tilley, 12th Sergeant Major of the Army. If you enjoyed this discussion, I know that you are, because we're talking about helping our veterans and families. It's just what it's all about. Please like us. Click on that subscribe button below. And be sure to click on the bell to receive notifications of all of our upcoming video podcast releases. I'll be right back after a word from our presenting sponsors.
You're watching Your Next Mission Video Podcast, proudly presented by Navy Federal Credit Union, the most trusted credit union owned by members of the military community, serving all branches of the armed forces and their families. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. Their members are the mission. Purdue Global. You're ready for a comeback, and with Purdue Global, you can do more than take classes. You can take charge of your story, of your career, of your life. Earn a degree you can be proud of and get an education employers respect. Start your comeback at PurdueGlobal.edu. And USAA.
A promise is a trust not to be broken. Whether spoken with an oath or sealed with a pinky. And after 100 years, we're still taking care of the military community and their families. That's our mission, always.
Now back to your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, Jack L. Tilley.
Welcome back. We're talking about the Sierra Club's Military Outdoors Program with the Deputy Director, Sherman Neal II. Before we get back to our discussion, I want to let you know about a way to support the work we're doing on behalf of veterans and their families here at the American Freedom Foundation. If you have a used vehicle you're planning to get rid of, or some property you don't have any plans for, you can donate it. Visit our website at AmericanFreedomFoundation.org/donate and click on that vehicle donation button or the home donation button to support our work. We really would appreciate it. Sherman, you're in your second year in position with the Sierra Club. What attracted you to this opportunity in the first place?
Again, going back to the river trip, the opportunity to have a systemic impact. So as a leader, both in the Marines and outside of the Marines, I've had the opportunity to touch a lot of people. And you know, I've been blessed and equipped with the skills now to bring my own story and match that with resources to impact an entire generation of veterans and military families. And so that really attracted me to come here and leverage the Sierra Club's platform to do that and bring the full force of that to bear for the veteran community.
Yeah. You know, I tell people you can take me out of the military, but you really can't take me out of the military. You know, it'll always be part of my life for the rest of my life. Hey, in August, the Military Outdoors Campaign released a report surveying the military community's relationship with the outdoors. Did you find anything that, you know, really surprised you with that?
Yes. And, you know, going back to August feels like a decade ago almost, but
yeah, goes back a ways anyway.
It does. The most, before we get into the details, the most surprising thing is the success of that report and seeing that success manifested in law, bipartisan law. So we published this report in August titled Outdoor Access for the Military Community, to kind of shape some outcomes that we wanted to see come together in legislation. That happened with the what was titled as the Explore Act, which had the included in there the military families and parks provisions. And that was passed in January. Politics aside, we know that between August and January, a lot of things happened. And that was a bipartisan, unanimous piece of legislation that codified, you know, the importance of creating access for veterans. A couple highlights there. Or one, you know, the VA's adaptive sports program. You know, we need to see programs like this protected through all the changes and really expanded to create more opportunities, because we see direct, you know, programmatic, you know, impacts that go directly to veterans that have direct positive outcome. The other is the Military Family Outdoors program. That program is housed in the DOD and with the Defense Health Agency. And again, like, these programs are kind of piecemeal, but we want to make sure that they are preserved through whatever times come up with some of these changes here. And then really, from the outdoors overall, we would like to see the VA lead the land management agencies to put together a grant program or some type of pilot program that creates access to more veterans in the outdoor space. Right now, there's some awesome initiatives that are housed in, you know, the Park Service, the Forest Service, USDA. But really, the VA itself, which has now has the VA Task Force on Outdoor Recreation established under law due to the passage of the Explore Act, has the opportunity to take that, take charge, bring those things together, and help veteran community service providers and critical people like peer specialists operationalize, you know, a lot of the positive health outcomes that we know come with being in the outdoors.
Are you saying the VA is involved with you now or not involved with you now?
They are involved. Okay. So prior to, after the passage of Avro, during the last Trump administration, actually, you know, the VA was tasked to create a task force on outdoor recreation that brought together the various land management agencies to codify a lot of what we've just discussed. With the passage of the Explore Act, even though that task force, which was going to sunset, now has been charged to carry on that work and operationalize, find appropriations for a lot of the programs that I just mentioned now, which is awesome. And before I forget, there's one more thing I wanted to mention, which is eye-opening to me, but for as part of our report, we surveyed veterans, and it came back that we had about 48% of our respondents were women. And still to this day, I think there's about 17.5-18% of the service population are women. So there's, we know, and we saw with the DAV has just released the report on, you know, the changing demographics of the force, that, you know, almost everything we're doing moving forward is going to have to be shaped to support the population of the future, the veteran population of the future, which is more diverse, more female, and post 9/11 centric, which has a different set of issues that come with service. I know I'll have to preach to you about that, Sergeant Major.
I got you.
That stood out to me a lot and made me step back and think about how am I substituting, you know, the female Captain Neil in for myself, and what would our services look like if I did that?
Yeah.
Which has some different outcomes.
Yeah. Hey, we both know our veterans, that, you know, when they come back from war with a lot of physical wounds, that they've, you know, lost that mobility issues or lost, you know, sight. Does Sierra Club Military Outdoors do anything specifically for, you know, disabled veterans?
So as non-service providers, not specifically, but as people who are conscious of the diversity of veterans to include, mm-hmm. you know, different abilities, yes. The trip that I went on that river was with a veteran service organization called Team River Runner. I didn't know that this was possible, but one of the things they specialize in is working with blind veterans. And so it's hard to feel bad for myself going over the rapid getting dunked when I see, you know, videos of a veteran that's blind learning how to navigate that. And so those are organizations that we're looking for. There's organizations like Catalyst Sports or North Carolina Adaptive Sports that, you know, are taking what's generally applicable and good for all, but making sure that, you know, they are speaking for and representing veterans of different abilities. And then stemming back to how the force is coming more diverse, you know, we're also looking at, you know, not just the issues that come with combat, but we also now know that I think 1 in 3 female service members have suffered from military sexual trauma. And we're seeing, you know, the impacts of that on, and we're also seeing service providers better positioning themselves earlier to provide some intervention and services. For us, that looks like with the VA, and they have a Center for Women Veterans, making sure that we're in tune with them, making sure that there is affinity type events where they have the spaces to discuss those issues, doing that the same way we would if we wanted to talk about, hey, if you're a veteran and you have PTSD due to, you know, a kinetic event, as opposed to what we may all have with just being a veteran, period, and moving with your family or having responded to a natural disaster in Haiti or something like that. So the more of those types of pods where we can help people find each other and build community in the outdoors, the better that we're all going to be, and the better, the more positive health outcomes we'll see.
Yeah, I heard once before that they think that 1 in 5, even on active duty, have some form of post-traumatic stress. Even on active duty, which is unbelievable. A lot of people that, you know, they got those wounds that you know you can't see, the un, You know, that's it's really tough. It's tough for a lot of people and family members, that's for sure. Hey, Sherman, this has been a great discussion, but just like everything else, we got to take another quick break. Don't go. I'm going to come back. This is a great discussion. We'll be right back. Now, here's a word from one more of the organizations that helped make this show possible.
You're watching Your Next Mission video podcast, brought to you in part by Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Dental, Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Vision.
Part of transitioning out is that dental and vision insurance breaks off from your medical insurance.
Vision and dental is very important to be able to enjoy your retirement.
Blue Cross Blue Shield makes a transition so much easier.
Now back to your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, Jack L. Tilley.
Welcome back. We're blessed to be here today with Sherman Neal II, Deputy Campaign Director for the Sierra Club, Military's Outdoor Program. Remember, this is your show. We know there's so many issues that directly affect you, and we want to address each and every one of them. So please, as I've said before, reach out to me. Tell me what topics you'd like us to cover. You can leave me a message at 844-424-1134 or send me an email at smatilley@yournextmission.org. And guess what? I'll reach back out to you. Sherman, Congress recently passed the Explore Act, which you talked about just a little while, which means expanding Public Land Outdoors Recreation Experience Act. A major part of the bill was specifically mandates provisions for veterans and their families. Would you tell us a little bit more about the bill and how our veteran community will benefit?
Yes, appreciate it. So within the Military and Veterans and Parks portion of the Explore Act, there's a couple mandates in there. One is for the land management agencies to examine trails and outdoor recreation on public lands and making sure that, we've caught up from an accessibility standpoint. Just like the military, there's a lot of deferred maintenance out there.
So we need to
assess that, see what the impact is, and see how that's going to impact families. Tied to that is once we've conducted those studies over a set course of years, I believe there's a 5-year glide slope to the assessment. There's also a mandate to create new trails. I believe it's 7 per each region. Hush, there's 5 regions. And so what we're trying to do there is influence where those go. Key portion of the MVP portion of the Explore Act is keeping the VA Task Force on Outdoor Recreation in place. And why that's critical is the VA now has direct communications with those land management agencies to tell them what their priorities may be. That's great for us because I know that one of the places that would seem like they have there's a lot of access that where there's really not is somewhere like Nellis Air Force Base in Las Vegas. With all the various parks, whether it's, you know, Bryce Canyon, Death Valley, Mojave, you know, what does it look like for a family to actually access those parks? If we take an E3 senior airman at Nellis, I didn't want to say Lance Corporal and be biased towards the Marines, but if we take an E3 and look at, you know, hey, this is a family of 4 making $35,000. You know, what does it actually take for them to get to travel 2 hours to go to Bryce Canyon?
Yeah.
And what are the transportation systems that are required? What on top of the awesome equipment that we know is offered at MWRs on base, how can they get that there? Are there opportunities to create new grant programs to help be a bridge to taking that kayak to Bryce Canyon or taking, you know, that those hiking poles for a set of military families out to explore that? That looks different for an E3 and an O3, and we're trying to look at what that means there. I'm personally invested in there, and that's why, you know, I'm concerned about that because I want to make sure I'm not looking through the lens of myself. And then the other part of that is employment. So we know that the USDA, the Forest Service, have partners. They are establishing pilot programs that have a direct path to employment for military veterans and active duty service members. Believe the name I was searching for before was SkillBridge, where it's, hey, you get exposed and then there's an opportunity for employment. Whereas there's a mandate here where we're coming up on it, where, you know, the various land management agencies are going to have to report on how these pilot programs are matriculating into employment. Obviously, it's an interesting time to be doing that in the federal government.
Yeah.
But that's where we come in, is to hold them accountable. Hey, don't forget about this amidst the cuts, the restructuring. You know, we've been through this. I've been through sequestration. Through all of those things, we still need to make sure that there's places for hope for these veterans to land until we right size, do whatever we're doing to gain efficiencies. We can't gain efficiencies at the expense of legislation that's already been passed and opportunities that we've promised our veterans, and we can't break those promises.
Yeah, I think just going out in the woods and going around, going in trails and stuff, I go back to thinking about my dad and me going hunting and stuff. I just always got a lot of fun out of that and learned a great deal about, you know, about my dad, about myself when I was out there hunting with him. So it was a lot of fun. Hey, there are currently 12 chapters nationwide that have military outdoors programs. Is expansion or military outdoors a priority right now? Is it going to be a priority to expand it there a little bit?
Yes. Appreciate pulling that out. It's definitely a priority for us. I think right now we touch all four corners of the United States, continental United States. I don't think we're in Hawaii yet. But, you know, we have a program right now in Alaska that's focused on military families and veterans, that they go take about 200 people to an island and have them have a camp on that island for a week. That's what Alaska looks like. Whereas, 3 weeks ago, talking about doing things with your dad, I went to Minneapolis with my two kids, and we went ice fishing.
Oh yeah,
and, that'd be a lot of fun. Yeah, so yeah, it was. You know, I was trying to had to channel all of my military bearing to not show how much pain I was in that time. I could look good for, you know, my 9-year-old and 7-year-old, who surprisingly were just as tough as me. And that's a lifelong, you know, memory that we created. Yeah. Something that, you know, I missed out on early on. And whereas that looks different than, you know, Florida, where we have a chapter in Jacksonville that's taking out not just veterans, but one of the coolest things that they're doing is integrated with the Veterans Treatment Courts. So when we talk about demographics and veterans that need help, you know, the most, you know, for those veterans who need a second chance, you know, the way I've been phrasing it is, if I get caught up at the substance abuse issue and I go do 20 hours at Goodwill as part of my thing, that's good. That helps. What's better is if I go find a community of veterans and I go hike a trail and learn about that trail, the land, learn some conservation principles along the way, naturally from just the hip pocket classes that you get from, you know, doing risk management, you become a leader, and there's something to come back to in a safe place. And so we want to see an expansion of our programs to our 64 different chapters at the Sierra Club, but really anywhere that we can have an influence and shape it to what that respective community needs. And so the best part of my job is learning, you know, about these things every day. I know I've already mentioned whitewater, ice fishing, you know, paddling in a swamp. Like there's no end to different ways that we can have an impact outside in nature.
Well, the impact that you have in the military community and their families is probably tremendous there. Hey, anyone in the military community is watching or listening there and is interested to about the Sierra Club Military Outdoors, is there a website or a phone number that you could call or get in contact with you?
Yes. So the website overall is sierraclub.org. So if you go on the sierraclub.org, you will see our campaign for military outdoors there. I'll give you my personal number here. It's 630-301-1824. And that's intentional because, you know, the best conversations I have are those people directly impacted. You know, I'm searching right now on, you know, LinkedIn, Facebook, et cetera, for people that don't know that can be leaders in this space, and hope you can contact me directly. Then my email address is Sherman, as you'll see at the bottom here, .neil at sierraclub.org, and feel free to contact me there as well.
What if someone wants to either volunteer or donate? Same website, same phone number, I guess, huh?
Correct. Same website, same phone number. And from a volunteer standpoint, like I said, if you don't see a local opportunity or the type of outdoor opportunity that you want to see in your community, that's something that we can work together and shape in real time. Like I'm going to LA to do soil samples because that's what veteran was interested in yeah. over there. And happy to do tweak the program to help you help your community.
Well, first of all, let me say this has been a great discussion. I appreciate what you're doing for our veterans and families. Danny, any final thoughts that you want to share with the audience before we jump off this show here? Anything that you want to share?
Go outside. Go outside. You know, be intentional about it. Be as regimented in going outside as you are with, you know, working out, taking care of your family, taking care of, and make it part of taking care of yourself. I know, you know, I'm smiling now, but as soon as I turn off the computer, it's back into federal policy land. And wherever you're at on the spectrum, there's a lot of noise out there. And I personally try to take some lessons learned and go for a walk, a bike, and it's kept me sane a bit. So encourage you to do the same. It's the best medicine's nature half the time.
Yeah, you don't have to convince me. I'm a believer that, you know, anytime you go out in the woods and go fishing and camping, and because I did a lot of camping in my military life, that's for doggone sure. Hey, thanks again, Sir Sherman. Appreciate you coming on the show. And I appreciate what you're doing, again, for our veterans and their families. You're doing a great job. Keep up the good work. And if we can ever help you in any way, please let us know.
Appreciate your time, Sergeant Major. Anything I can do to help you as well.
All right. God bless. Have a good one. Thanks again to Sherman Neal from Sierra Club Military Outdoors for being with us today. I'm Jack L. Tilley, 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, and you've been enjoying your Next Mission video podcast. And thank you for joining us. Log on to our website at yournextmission.org and leave a review. Always say, I hope it's a good review. While you're there, you can visit our nonprofit and corporate partners who have jobs and services available that can assist you in your transition from the military. And check out our job board in partnership with Recruit Military and Opline, where you can create your own personal profile that will match you with just the right job in real time. You can follow me on my personal social media pages, Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, LinkedIn, and of course, Rumble. And if you like what we're doing with Your Next Mission, click on that subscribe button below. And don't forget to click on the bell to receive notifications about our upcoming video podcast releases. Don't forget, we want to hear from you. Please leave me a message at 844-424-1134 or send me an email at smatilley@yournextmission.org. Thanks again to Sherman Neal for joining us today. Hey, look, I grew up in the outdoors, and I know what it can do for you. And I tell you what, outdoors for me was always therapy. I was always learning about my father or my mother or my brother or my friends. It's about team building. It's about pulling together. It's about just getting out there and relaxing and letting everything just sort of float away and being just in a different space. We just need to do all we can to, you know, to take care of the Sierra Club or organizations like that. They mean so much to all of us. So thanks for watching. Thanks to Newmont Studios and, of course, our sponsors. Navy Federal Credit Union, Purdue Global, Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Dental, Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Vision, and USAA. We appreciate all you do for our military. And as always, see you on the high ground. Hooah!
You've been listening to Your Next Mission, brought to you by the American Freedom Foundation. Learn more by visiting yournextmission.org.